The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome.
Nick, you're over there.
Okay. How are you, Antonio?
I'm here.
You're here. Okay, yes. You're always here.
Yes.
Always here with just a very positive, optimistic.
That's me, Mr. Positive.
You're one of those who gets up in the morning, you jump out of bed, and you say, hip, hip, hooray, it's yep. A new day. So, anyway.
I did that one time.
You did that one time?
I did that one time because you said it, and Angelica looked at me like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Although it might be a good thing to do, you know, because that'll be a kind of just do it, you know?
I kind of try. I think about it. Okay, should I push myself to do this, but then I always say, it's not me.
Are you one of those who, increasingly, I have to say this is my reality, I just don't want to get out of bed in the morning. You know,
today was one of those days.
Was it? Yeah. Because it's snowing outside and it's cold.
I see, today was one of those days that, I mean, I was up till like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, so I couldn't sleep.
I don't know how you do that.
I'm getting used to it, I guess.
God, my poor mother, you know, she had a of course, there were eight of us, you know, and we were, I've said this before on the radio, but I didn't realize it until I think just only in the past, maybe 5 years that I realized as I think back how egocentric we were. You know, kids tend to be, right? And so you have to, you know, break them of that. And in a big family, it's not a difficult thing to do because you can't dote over one or the other. Right. You know, you've got to keep the whole herd
in line.
And but when you're dealing with eight egocentric, although we were pretty good, though, I have to say. I mean not certainly far from perfect. My mother thought I was the worst, but anyway, but she what was the thought that it just went out of my head. What was I going to say?
You can't dote on one of them.
I don't know how my mom did it. So she took on a job. She was a nurse's aide, and she took on a job during the night, you know, so she could, you know, be mother and attend to the house and all that during the day. And she did this when, after my father retired from the Air Force. So so he was had retired, and we moved to Florida. I was already going into high school, I think, and I'm the second oldest, so there were all these other younger ones, and my oldest sister is just a year older than I am, and so she took on that night shift in the hospital from 11 to 7 so that she could, like I say, then be there during the day and tend to the house and take care of the kids and all that. And I just remember how hard it was for her, you know. And we couldn't understand why is she always grouchy and she's always angry and always.
So you think about that as kids, and I think about it just as he was talking, I was probably a bad kid. I don't think if I had
I can't
me as
that.
A kid. Well, you know what I mean, as a bad kid, it's like egocentric.
Yeah,
it's
right,
all about
sure.
me and why, how come, you know. But then when I look around today and I see some of the way people act, I think, oh gosh, then, you know, I wasn't all that bad.
Well, and you see, that's the thing. That's the difference. We're making generalizations here, but I say we were egocentric, but we had a good, healthy fear of the adults.
That's
you know?
Missing thing, I think, when you think about today as opposed to when we grew up.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, but you didn't want your parents to, you know, call your parents, your, no, I mean your teachers just to call the parents, or you didn't want the neighbor parents to call the parents and say, you know, and, you know, kids do kids things and you get, but
now, isn't it interesting? Now it's like, how dare you call me about my kid?
Right. Yeah.
All times have changed.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could tell you some stories about that just in my own, in my own adult life, you know, where, I shouldn't tell this story because it's,
no, I shouldn't tell this
story. Don't want to.
Will you harm somebody?
No, I just, you know, because we've got a good school and,
right.
I don't want to make it,
seem
sound like bad, you know, and I'll just tell you a little bit. Okay. So, I'll tell you the whole story. Okay. So the kids, there was this one grade, this is going back some years. So of course now everybody's perfect. This is going back some years. And so I would get a call from the, and I try not to, you know, get myself into it. I try not to intervene in the school. I let the principal and the teachers
handle it.
And unless I'm actually called into something. So I kept hearing all through the year that there was this, a group of kids in this one classroom that were the cause of a lot of troubles, you know, that they were, there was, you know, just, they
causing were. Causing mischief, shenanigans.
Mischief, like the, what is that, the gang, my gang, or what was that?
our gang.
Our gang or something like that, remember that?
Yeah, not the cartoon, the Spanky.
Spanky and,
Alfalfa. Buckwheat.
Buckwheat, yeah.
Yes.
What was the little girl's name?
Darla.
Oh, you know all this.
I know. You should love this.
Yeah.
I would come in and watch this.
So we had a group, I don't guess. I know. There was a group of kids, and so I'd get a call every once in a while.
Think The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah,
The movie
The
Sandlot. Yeah.
That was great. That's a great movie. But, I told you I'd never seen it. It was, never even heard of it. I'm not a movie guy, you know, so, but I saw it when I was in Rochester. I was on the TCM channel, and it was, wow, this is great. I got to tell the kids, I got to see this movie. And so I, at the school, I mentioned, to the kids, we had a gathering of all the students, and I said, oh, you got to see this movie, you know, I don't remember the name of the movie, and I started to describe it, and everybody
knew it.
Sandlot, they knew it. Everybody knew it. Yeah. But anyway, these kids. So the kids, they were. I kept getting these calls that the kids were kind of out of hand. A certain group, you know, which caused problems for the rest of the students and the teacher, and some of the parents were irritated. And so anyway, I happened to be in my office working intensely working, probably preparing my letter or whatever, and I got a call from the secretary. This is years ago, and it happened to be they were in the church preparing for the Christmas concert, and she said, and the secretary called and said, you know, that those kids, that group of kids, they're acting up in the church, and the teacher called me, and so, hey, thanks, Jasmine. So my coffee, espresso.
Espresso.
This is a,
thank you.
Armin's got his over there too. So, but anyway, so
poor Jasmine has to come down here and wait on us.
I know it's not right, is it?
But it's not right.
She gets paid for it, so right. But anyway, and she loves doing it. Yes. Actually, even if she wants, she's not getting paid for it. She just loves doing that. So anyway, so I got it. So I'm at my desk, and I'm probably preparing a letter or something, and I need the time and the space and the ability to focus. And so I get the call.
And I bet you had that flash. How would my dad handle this?
Well, I didn't even. It what happened was the secretary called and said, you know, there's the kids are over there and they're acting up. That
there you
group,
go.
That group, that gang, you know.
Our
and so I.
Threw,
I threw my pen on the table and I marched into the church and I caught them. I saw them. Now I know who it is. So I called them into the sacristy and I just really tore into them. They never saw me so angry. And so they went away. I mean, they were just petrified, you know, and some of them started crying and they went away. So I said, because never again, I said, this isn't what we teach
this
you.
Is
you know,
this, is
not, this is a, you know, Catholic school and all that. So, a little bit later in the day, now this is the day of the Christmas concert,
right?
I get a call from the principal. She said, "What did you say to the kids? You know, now the parents are coming at me and they're angry. What kind of a priest do we have over there? You know."
The funny thing is, I bet there was 10 different stories.
Whatever.
They were all like real.
So the parents are upset and they say, "What kind of a priest do we have over there?" And so I, and that's the night of the concert. So right. I was kind of a little bit wondering because I have to be at the concert. It was in the church. And so the next day, And of course, the teacher told me, the principal said, you know, that you called them all kinds of names and you said this and you said that. And I thought, I didn't call them any names at all. And then, so the next day I went to the school. Mm-hmm. So the principal, who's all of a sudden very protective, like a right. mother would be of her of children, how dare you, you know. So I went to the school and I went to the principal and I said, you know, and again, this is years ago, and I said, we're going, I want you to come with me to the I think it was a fourth grade class. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the fourth graders. So we went to the fourth graders, and I said, okay. I said, so I want you, all of you who were called into the sacristy, mm-hmm. I want you to tell me, here in the presence of the all principal, right. what I told you in the sacristy. And they repeated word for word what I said. So I said, now, where in this did you get the idea that I was calling you names or whatever? And it was so funny because they knew exactly what I said, and they gave it right back to me. And I don't want to use the word intimidated. They were embarrassed. They were embarrassed, right. And they should have been.
Yeah,
they should have been, you know. But the difference was, as you said, how the parents came in. You know, they wouldn't hear from my side of it.
Right.
It was just, you know, this is what happened to me. I believe my children. I don't believe whatever. Anyway, so
it's that
water under the bridge.
Interesting communication technique where it's like somebody tells you a story, simple thing with certain details, and you pass it on from one person to the next person. And by the time it gets to the end person, there's just a whole different story.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is they all remembered. Right. They give it back to me word for word. Mm-hmm. I think it was just that I was really stern with them, and I said, you know, you get the story. So, but yeah, how times change. You got to be very careful what you say, how you say it, how you look. How you look.
That's another thing.
But there's got to be authority. See, the thing is, the kids have to know there is the authority. And that's the thing that we knew. Like when my father would walk into the, my mother used to do this, you know. She said, "You just wait until your father gets home. Wait till he gets home.
I'm going to tell him everything."
And she would. And she would embellish. Right. My mother would embellish. I'm not going to say she lied, but she embellished.
No.
And so we would try to. I'd try to catch my father before he got mm-hmm. into the house.
Like whatever you hear, this is what really happened, and he'd be he'd listen and he knew.
Right, but then when we would sit at the table. So I might have mentioned this before mm-hmm. on the radio, but we would all. My mother would sit at one end, and my father sat at mm-hmm. another end. We actually had a picnic table,
right.
and then there were four. We were all the eight of us were on mm-hmm. the other side. Four on each side. So I always had to sit right next to my father.
Right.
So I'd get the hand, right?
Get the hand, right.
And my mother would, so we're, you know, you want to enjoy a nice, peaceful meal, and, you know, she's saying, "And Tony did this, and he did that, and he said this," and I said, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. And she,
calling
and
your mother a liar?
My father, you're calling your ma a liar, and he'd smack me up beside the head, you know, and all that. And so
he would gently tap you upside.
So
by the way,
on Sunday, you know, I said, I'm going to go over this in a moment after the break, but that this about chastisement. I said, if my father had not chastised me, if he had not punished me, if he hadn't, you know, disciplined me, I wouldn't be where I am today. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect, but you get the point,
right?
You know, so I think back how I was raised, and. You know, my father, for him, it was you either got to work, you got to play sports, you got to do something. You just can't hang around or hang out. And I mean, we would hang out with our kids. You know, we had fun time with our friends, no doubt. a lot of fun time. You know, fun times that kids don't have today, it doesn't seem to me. Because our bicycles, they were our horses, they were our tanks, you know, when we would play army and all that. And but, you know, during the summer, you know, especially as I got older, it wasn't, you know, the kids wanted to, because we lived on the beach, and everybody wanted to, my friends would hang out at the beach. My father wouldn't permit it. No, he says, no, you're going to get the lawnmower, and you're going to go and you're going to mow lawns. And these are big Florida lawns. These are big lawns.
Yeah.
And I would be so angry. You know, he'd get me out of bed early in the morning, and you know, and especially, and if it were the older, like the old man Fitz, his name was Mr. Mm-hmm. Fitz, lived across the street, and I couldn't charge him anything. You know, I just had to go and mow his yard.
It's free time. He'd sit there too.
Spend a whole day there because he'd stand over me, and it wasn't just mowing the grass, but you had to trim the, you know, along the driveway and around the trees and all that kind of stuff, and pull the weeds. And this is in a hot, humid Florida weather. And you get nothing for it at the end. He would maybe offer something like a quarter.
Here's a quarter.
but you, my father, you'd never take the money from him. No, you do it. Or when I was in junior high, I remember he would get up. I was just in junior high school. We were living in Delaware, Dover Air Force Base, and he'd get up too. God bless him. And he had me do a paper route. And so he'd roll the papers with me, and then he'd send me off on the bicycle, on my bike, to deliver the Air Force Times. And we did it. And then I had to go back and collect the money, you know. So after school, you know, I'd have to collect the money, and people often weren't there. And so I didn't make any money off that. But
I'll pay you on Tuesday.
But it was, but those were, those are good good things, you know. Yeah. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll pray. We should have prayed in the beginning, but you kind of threw me for a loop,
fault.
I think. I don't
I
know what it was.
I'm going to take
you, make you, give you, blame you for that. Yeah. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's good to be here today, actually. I feel pretty good because I have my coffee and... because I'm kind of reminiscing. We're reminiscing about the old days, the good old days, the good old days.
When I was a kid.
Well, I tell you, I pray for these kids today. And in fact, let's pray. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of all saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation is founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Now we trust in your most powerful intercession as we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Paul,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, yesterday was a feast of the conversion of Saint Paul, which is we get a chance, maybe I'll read from the writings, I believe it was Saint Ambrose, and his conversion is really, really beautiful. But I want to go back to Sunday, because if you recall in the first reading, the readings, all of them were about repentance and conversion. But the first reading was a message not only directed to the people of the covenant, but a message directed to those outside the covenant as well. The covenant, or those people that were part of the alliance, the Israelite people. And we're part of the covenant. We're people of the covenant insofar as, well, the new covenant, you know, which the old covenant was a nation. From that nation, the Messiah would come and then establish a new covenant that would encompass, embrace all nations, Catholicize, Catholic, meaning universal, a universal covenant. So the book of Jonah that we read from, the people of Ninevite, who were not Israelites, not part of the covenant, they were outside the covenant, they were foreigners, but they were told to repent, otherwise they had to convert their evil ways with a view to their impending destruction, because God said he was going to destroy Nineveh. And they repented of their sins, and they proclaimed a fast, and they turned from their evil ways. And God saw the sincerity of their conversion and the resolve to change their lives, and he therefore did not carry out the chastisement he threatened against them. So that's where I brought up the whole word of chastisement, you know, that we kind of shy away, or we seem to have this allergic reaction to God as a God who would chastise or punish. But, you know, as I mentioned on Sunday, and we've probably mentioned many times on the radio, and anybody with common sense knows, anybody who's a parent, that there's a point where you have to chastise or punish or discipline a child so as to teach the child the right way of living, and to protect them from themselves, and to protect them and to protect others as well. Mm-hmm. So chastisement is commonsensical, you know, and we're not talking about abuse,
right?
But I would say my parents never abused us, but we were punished, we were disciplined, we were chastised.
I think today when people hear chastisement, that's what they go to, abuse, and it's a different, you know, that's why even talking about our upbringing, and you think about those things. I mean, I think the things that even you discussed today, and the things that, you know, when I was coming up could be looked at as abuse today.
Right.
It seems that it's gotten so, you know, you steer away from the truth of the matter. Or I love the, oh, well, you know, he's my son, he's my daughter, I'm going to let them decide whatever it is they want. And I think it doesn't seem like sense, because, I mean, children are children. They learn bad things if there's no one there to correct them. And, you know, sometimes you can't just say, little Jimmy,
don't do that, because little Jimmy's going to get smart and just say, hey, you know, don't tell me what to do.
Well, that's why the crisis,
so you have to
a lack of authority.
Yeah.
You know, the people need to know who is the authority here.
So that kind of homily that really hit with me. And I thought, one of the things, if I can, you know, just get into it now, because I've been thinking about it for a while. It's interesting how, and I admit, I listen to everything you say. I mean, I don't want that to seem like, okay, here's this robot that listens to everything you say. But I mean, when it comes to Mass, especially in your homilies are very, very good, and they sit with me. And it's like, you know, I had one of those moments where the light went on.
Sure.
And I said, I now understand. And it's not only your homilies, but I mean, from going to Mass all
right.
the time.
Sure.
And how you do say sometimes, well, I might have told you, I might have said this, if I said it again, whatever. But it clicked. I realized that the things I've been listening to for all these years, and I don't want to say finally makes sense, but I think there's a moment with everybody where you have to say, wow, you know, okay, I understand this.
Right.
And even as adults, sometimes you really have to hear things many, many times for them to click. And when they do click, it's like, my gosh, this is what I've been hearing for so long, and now it makes sense.
Right. Like, give us this day our daily bread. You know, bread today is a bread for the day. Tomorrow I'll be hungry and I'll need the bread, right?
So
you're absolutely right about that. And that's it's like we're being saturated. You know, that's why we can't afford to not cleave to Christ or immerse ourselves in the Word of God and prayer, because otherwise there are the spirits out there that deviate against truth. And this is what we've allowed this to take grip of our society. Actually, I'm writing about that this morning. I was writing about that, but you're absolutely right about that. It's not just there are those who are really refined and polished speakers. I've got disorientation in my head all the time. I got so many thoughts that come into my head all the time. I know that's just the way it is. But when I listen to a priest or any if I listen to a conference or whatever it might be, if I can take something out of it, then I consider it good. I'm not trying to critique, you know.
I think even if you think about it that way too, and I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people. It's not like you have to go into something and really get anything out of it. I mean, I give the respect to whoever is speaking, whether it's good or bad, and I make my decision. It's just that I could hear people say, oh, well, yeah, you go to church every Sunday. Well, you're getting brainwashed. And I've heard people say that.
Sure.
But then, you know, at one time where you would get mad at that, you tend to say to yourself, this person has not a clue on what it really is. And then when you think of brainwashing, dare I say, we can talk politics then, we can talk movies, we can talk all kinds of things in that nature. So I give people the sense that, again, you listen to a speaker to get the respect of whatever message is being said. You know, you're not forced to believe or do anything. But I guess going back full circle, when I sit and I think about, even in Scripture, the things I've heard so many times, so many years, there's a moment, and I've discussed this before, even with reading, you hear things that you've not heard in a long time.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
And it is. And it's you want to say, I mean, I would think even, you know, let's bring it into, you know, in the real world. I mean, I think of some of the things my mom always told me when I was younger, and I'd say, whatever. Okay, in one ear, out the other. And then there's one day, one time, you hear it and it makes sense, and it's like, why didn't I listen?
Yeah.
So it's
you make a point there, and I think it's I find it absolutely quite fascinating, you know. And that's and as a priest, I'm in Scripture every day,
right.
every day, And after so many years, and one of the, this is, there's two examples I can give right now that I thought, gosh, I never heard that before. Yeah. Or all of a sudden I'm hearing it as if for the first time, and it makes sense. And one of those is, and you've heard me speak this over and over on the radio, because this is only, I'd say, in the last several years, where all of a sudden I was reading Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, mm-hmm. He was leaving Ephesus. It must have been to the Ephesians. He was leaving Ephesus, and he gave his final address to the priests of Ephesus, and he says, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving you with a clean conscience, because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you need to know that ravenous wolves are coming to destroy, to divide, and destroy. And that you know, it's like I heard that for the first time, mm-hmm. the full counsel of God, in a time when we pick and choose what's comfortable. And it kind of goes back to the what we were talking in the last segment about, and again, I'm repeating this, but as you said, we have to keep repeating this, because mm-hmm. we're in this conflict, this little bit of a battle. But to remind ourselves that God's love is not permissive, going back to the authority and, you know, how we raise our children, that love is not, if it's permissive love, it's a disservice to the child who's being formed. Mm-hmm. God's love is not a permissive love. It's a demanding love, because he demands of us adherence to the law of God, his law, and even taking us beyond that into a life of high virtue, because it not only serves us individually in our salvation and sanctification and the forming of our character, but it also serves the broader society. You know, we have a responsibility to each other. So that would be one of the things. The other example, and this was just this past year that I heard it for the first time. It must have been Holy Week, but probably Holy Thursday, or maybe not Holy Thursday. I don't remember. It was the reading, and I don't remember from whether it was the Book of Exodus or one of the books of the Old Testament, probably in the Torah. But what's spoken here is about that we, how's this going on? This mysterious bread, unknown to others but given to us, that was the bread that led them to the desert. This mysterious bread made known to us but unknown to others. And it was a prefiguration, preparation for this mysterious food we eat every time we go to Holy Mass, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ under the hidden guise of bread and wine. Mysterious, so we call it the sublime mystery of our faith, unknown to others but made known to us, you know, because mm-hmm. we come to faith. When I heard that, I thought, wow, this is so beautiful. Now, in the Book of Revelation, it's the hidden manna. And there's other signs that, mm-hmm. but it's true how you don't realize, you hear it all. I always find it interesting when people say that, well, they never heard, they were Catholics, but they mm-hmm. never heard any of this. Well, I said, you've been hearing it all along.
Yeah.
But maybe we haven't been receptive, maybe we haven't been disposed. Maybe we, as we're going to hear this Sunday, harden not your hearts, yeah. but be attentive, receptive to the voice of God. Listen, you know, as God speaks, harden not your hearts to the voice of God. Anyway, going to take a break, and we'll come back, and I want to continue with the point was, and because really, truly, in this time in which we live, as in all time, there is need for repentance and conversion. And I think that most people kind of get it, but it's like, do we want to enter into that discipline? Because mm-hmm. it is a discipline, the discipline of the faith. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student.
Costs should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stan's Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I mentioned we're making reference to the readings this past Sunday, which was just, 2 days ago, the call to repentance and conversion, how the Ninevites, which again, this is a testimony to the fact, the truth of what Scripture says, and that is that the law of God is written into all our hearts. We're all God's people, so God created all of us, and His law is written into our hearts. Truth is written into our hearts. We're made by God for God. St. Paul, in the second reading this past Sunday, he calls the Christians of Corinth to practice holy detachment from a world that is passing away. In other words, you're in the world but not of the world. We're committed to life in this world with sacrificial love, emulating the love of Christ. And he said, St. Paul said, the time is running out. Now, here we are 2,000 years later, and the world has yet to pass away. But even so, St. Paul, along with the people of his day, passed away not long after he wrote those words. You consider 2,000 years that have unfolded since then. Even if the people of Corinth lived another 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 years, the time allotted them was indeed running out. And we can honestly say of ourselves that the time is running out and the world is passing away. Certainly our world is passing away. The call to set things right with God, to set things right with each other, is a call that goes out to every generation, every generation. Jesus opened the gospel this past Sunday proclaiming the gospel of God. He said, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. So even if the world should go on for another 2,000 years or even 1,000,000 years, how much time do we have? And what are we doing today to ensure that our children, grandchildren, and generations yet to be born will live with knowledge of God in a civil and religious society whose morality, discipline, and hard work are valued as essential to the well-being of all. Because again, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the show. You know, that's what our parents, we certainly, as we were growing up, it was truly a civil society. There's always going to be sin. There's going to be rough edges. There's going to be our gang and all that. And, you know, but it was a, basically speaking, a religious society. And we were taught morality, discipline. Hard work was valued as essential. You felt compelled. It was ingrained in you. You got to work hard. You know, you just can't. As I said, my father would say, you got to do one or two things. You got to play sports or you got to work, but you're not just going to hang out. You know, and you've got to earn, you know, your keep, so to speak. You know. Mm-hmm. We weren't given allowances. We didn't get allowances as we were growing up because I'm going to pay you to clean your room.
Right.
I'm going to pay you to make your bed. No, these are your obligations. These are your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Now, over the decades, the past decades, we've been increasingly estranged from these things, really. And today, especially, there's a very strong pushback at any attempt to reassert God's kingdom as essential to civility. Anyone who wishes to conserve, this is essentially conserve the sacred institutions of faith and family within the bounds of the Ten Commandments and the full counsel of God as reflected in sacred scripture and the teachings of the church are increasingly suppressed, censored, and canceled out. Those are the cancel, what do they call that? The cancel out society?
Cancel culture.
The cancel culture. We're living through that. Because the Bible, the Ten Commandments, prayer, that was taken out of the schools long ago. That's why I think today it's absolutely essential that Catholics, parents, you know, find the means, make the sacrifice to put your children in a Catholic school to try to safeguard them from the kind of indoctrination that's happening in the public institutions of education. I remember a woman in those days, her name was Ann Novak. She lived on Cleaver. She died some years ago. But I remember her telling me that they didn't have a car. They didn't own a car so they could send their children to Catholic school. Can you imagine? In those days, of course, everybody, you know, you lived in the neighborhood was your world.
Right.
But in any case, the effort to enforce the new reset, you hear this all the time now, or a new world order that replaces God's centrality to life with man's is a utopian fantasy. Just as we saw in the last century, the attempt to do so will result in the elimination and extermination of millions upon millions of lives. This is in a society where there's this suppression, censoring. This is just something that's really in our face right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the cancel culture, as you said, in a rather harsh way. This is only the beginning. It's kind of a soft beginning to think about what happened in the past century. And this is all under systemic atheism, as we've, even in our own society, we take God out of, and be aware of people who use the name God or quote scripture for their own, to further their own agenda or to placate the people. We have to be really astute to that. But when you think about the last century, I was asking on Sunday, how many people, because the worst genocides of the 20th century, how many people were eliminated, exterminated? 160 million under regimes that were systemic atheistic and identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
So you take in China, Mao Zedong, 78 million people exterminated, Josef Stalin, the Soviet Union, 23 million people exterminated, eliminated, Adolf Hitler, the fascist, under Nazism, 12 million. This is aside from the casualties of war. These are, yeah, I guess you'd call these casual, but some of this was even outside the, away from war. It was just an intentional, the concerted effort to eliminate sectors of the population, cancel culture,
mm-hmm.
Suppression, censorship, but extermination, elimination. That means putting them to death. Adolf Hitler, 12 million. Josef Stalin, 23 million. Mao Zedong, 78 million. Pol Pot in Cambodia, 1,700,000. But the total, I mean, I have a whole list of it here, 160 million in the past century. In our own nation, think about it, you know, human rights, in the absence of God, and God's law has already witnessed the extermination of over 60 million human beings conceived in the wombs of their mothers in our nation, in our lifetime. 60 million. 60 million. And if they can be eliminated, so too can you and I. At some point in the course of our life journey, we can be eliminated. This isn't, we got to, you know, develop a sensitivity to this reality, because history, what's interesting too is eliminating history, canceling, it's part of the cancel culture, right?
Yeah.
To eliminate history. It was amazing, really, that I was really shocked by, some things didn't shock me when Biden took to the presidency on the very day of his inauguration, but to cancel out the 1776, re-educate our students, our young people, about the history of our nation, 1776.
These are the little things to pay attention to.
Because this is what they do in socialist communist mm-hmm. regimes, is they cancel out history.
Yep.
Cancel out history. And this happens in the nation, it's happening in the church as well. If we can easily be eliminated, this is just the beginning. If we don't, if we're not astute to what's going on, if we're deemed a threat to the progressive movement of society based on the centrality of man rather than the centrality of God, we will be removed from the public square, and efforts to do so are already underway. You know, even this idea of identity politics, what does it do? But it categorizes.
Mm-hmm.
It segregates people. It stokes division. One group has power over another group. It disunifies. It creates division purposefully. So it's just a purposeful thing. That's why I mentioned Sunday, and I won't permit it here. I won't permit it here in the church, in this parish, nor in our school. But we have to push against it, because mm-hmm. I'm writing about this now this morning about gaslighting. You know, don't have right here before me the definition of that, but I'm just kind of reflecting on that right now. We have to be very careful that we're not being deceived, because this is all Luciferian. You know, where you mm-hmm. what is it? The devil is he comes as an angel of light to deceive and to seduce and to create the illusion and to accuse. That's what characterizes the prince of the prince. As Jesus said, he's the prince of this world, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, a seducer, a deceiver. He creates an illusion and he accuses, and we're very much. If we're not centered in God, and that is got to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a God among gods. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Even on the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, the Christians were called the people of the way. What way was it? It was the way of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And St. Paul was a very devout Pharisee, a devout Jew who had a great passion for Judaism. And the primitive church was all Jewish. We were born out of Judaism. And so he never intended to leave Judaism, but to bring people to the knowledge of the Messiah, the promised Messiah who has come, who appeared to him. But you know, it's really quite interesting what's going on in this day and in this time. What will it take for us to repent and to convert to God, as the Ninevites did? They were foreigners. You know, this is why I say this is the time where people keep using the word, we're being woked. Woked to what? We need to be woked to the reality of who we are as Christians, as Catholics. We need to reconnect with our living tradition, right? Not to be, so if you go back to the gospel this past Sunday, if we follow the example of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we will ensure our salvation and that of our children and generations yet to be born. The apostles and countless men and women of generations past and present abandoned something in order to follow Jesus, that his kingdom be ever in the midst of the world. That was in the gospel on Sunday, that Peter and Peter and Andrew, they abandoned, this is the word, they abandoned their nets. James and John, they abandoned their father in order to follow Jesus. And the question is, what must we abandon that Jesus have full possession of our lives, and through us, others will come to know him, love him, and serve him if they choose? But we've got to, you know, this is, if we're no different from anybody else in the society, you know, I said the week before that I am a proud American. I'm a proud Catholic, not using the word proud in the sense of pride as the root of all sin, because we teach humility and gratitude, and this is what's lacking, humility and gratitude. But to be a proud American, to be a proud Catholic, but first and foremost, before we're Americans, we're Catholics, which translates, we're Christians. That means that we, to whom do we bend our knee, but to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. To him, we bend our knees. We bow down as we, in the psalm that is coming up this Sunday, you know, harden not your hearts and be receptive, be docile before God. Listen, seek God while he may be found, because, again, the time is passing away. And what are we doing to ensure that our children, grandchildren, generations yet to be born will have knowledge of God? Because I tell you, people, you know, this, and I'm 36 years a priest. It's appalling, you know, so often now at funerals where people don't even know how to make the sign of the cross. They don't even know how to pray the Our Father, where we've been so distracted by the increasingly radical society in which we live. Now, these what must we abandon that Jesus have full possession of our lives, and through us, others come to know him, to love him, serve him? These questions beg from us an answer, for indeed the time is running out. After all is said and done, only God's kingdom will endure. All right, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Changed.
shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that long. Can you see?